I want to read to you this morning's text from Psalm 20, just by way of a little bit of an introduction to the message this morning. 2 weeks ago, we talked about We Get Through. That was the title. Whether it is our suffering, our trials, whether it is our weaknesses, we get through. This morning, we're going to talk about We Get Through the Day of Trouble. It's found out of Psalm 20. I'm going to preach this. I'm going to read it to you, then pray, and then we're going to preach this. Hopefully, try to preach it here in a moment. May the Lord answer you in the day of trouble. May the name of the God of Jacob set you securely on high. May He send you help from the sanctuary and support you from Zion. May He remember all your meal offerings. Find your burnt offering acceptable. May He grant you your heart's desire and fulfill all your counsel. We will sing for joy over your victory. In the name of our God, we'll set up our banners. May the Lord fulfill all your petitions. Now I know the Lord saves His anointed. He will answer him from His holy heaven with the saving strength of His right hands. Some boast in chariots, some in horses. But we will boast in the name of the Lord our God. They have bowed down and fallen. Watch. But we have risen and stood upright. Save, O Lord. May the King answer us in the day we call. He says this. This is the blessing. This is the prayer request. This is what God does. May He answer you in the day of trouble. Have you ever had a day of trouble? Has the day of trouble extended itself to days of trouble, right? Days of uncertainty. When you look at the word trouble, it comes to mean just a lot of different things. It's a hard spot, a strait where you're just pressed in, a distressing time of affliction, adversity, anguish, or tribulation. It's a day of trouble is when the enemy comes like a flood to tempt you, to anger, to lust, to greed. The day of trouble. If you don't think temptation is a day of trouble, you think about Jesus in the wilderness. Jesus in the wilderness facing every temptation for those 40 days. A high priest who's passed through the heavenlies, been tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin. Oh no, listen, it was a day of trouble. And it came like a flood, day after day after day, for 40 days. Why? So that He might come to your aid in your day of trouble. Think about Gethsemane, if you will, with me. The day of trouble for Him where He said, Lord, if there's any way, let this cup pass from me. If there's any other way to save a people, to save the world, to save your people, let this cup pass. Praise it three times. Why? Because it's a day of trouble. It's a day of a strait. It's a day of a temptation. It's a day where He's pressed in on all sides. He knows where He's headed. He knows exactly what's going to happen. He knows that He's going to be crucified. He knows that He's going to be beaten. He knows all these things. But one thing He does know, why He was in such desperate straits, is because for the first time in all eternity, you'd be separated from this great God because of your sin laid on Him. The day of trouble. We all experience them. When I think about the day of trouble, it may be a battle for the soul, a battle for your family, a battle for your son or your daughter. It might be something that you're facing today, like a hard diagnosis, or maybe even in the midst of a loss. The day of trouble. There's lots of us in this place who have had days of trouble lately. And I would fail to answer, to speak of all of them. Might miss some folks. But when you think about losing a wife and a mom, Maria della Serta, and the crisis and the day of trouble they went through facing this diagnosis and this cancer. Coming to elders to be anointed. When you think about a day of trouble, we think about Wes Jones, or Kristen Jones's brother who dropped dead, not dropped dead, but had an aneurysm last Sunday at their church in Hamilton and is now buried. It's a day of trouble. It's a day of trouble for a young wife, a day of trouble for a 4-year-old boy about to turn 5. a hard day, hard circumstances, hard, stressful times. Maybe the day of trouble is when you're fired for no reason, or maybe reason of your own. The day of trouble when you fall into that temptation and the sin comes in like a flood. That's the day of trouble. The day of trouble that tempts you to turn from God, to walk in fear, to walk in worry, to walk in anxiety or stress. The day of trouble comes upon all of us. Where none of us are exempt. But here's the promise. We, as believers in Christ, we get through. We get through the day of trouble. And it may last a while, and it may not be like you thought it might be. But we know that God does this work. Amen? He does this work. He gets us through the day of trouble. When I think about disappointment in expectations, when I think about things in my life that I face that are hard and are difficult, we get through the day of trouble. And we get through the day of trouble because of who He is. I think about today where Luba, whose mother passed two nights ago in Ukraine, in a city that is under Russian control, and can't do anything to get to her. It's a day of trouble. Many of you have been praying for John Ann's dad. He passed this week, early Friday morning. Day of trouble. And then the people that we work with on a daily basis, some of you here in this place that struggle with a lost son or a lost daughter, it's a day of trouble. A rebellious son, a rebellious daughter, it's a day of trouble. When things are just not the same in the family, day of trouble. When you look at this psalm, there's an understanding of warfare, that there's always, in warfare, there's always going to be days of trouble. And I'm going to tell you this, let's not think about just the wars of Israel, but let's talk about the wars that rage in your own mind and your own soul. It's the day of trouble. And I look at this passage of scripture and I see under the pen of David that says in this great blessing, may he answer you in the day of trouble. I think of Job and the series of calamities of losing it all and losing his children, but yet he endures and God restores. I think about Hezekiah, this threat from Assyria in Isaiah 37, and yet God sends one angel. To defeat the enemy. I think of the day of trouble in Jehoshaphat, surrounded by enemies. They're on the way. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. They fast, they pray, and what happens? The enemies destroy one another. The day of trouble. There's a day of trouble for Paul, many afflictions. In 2 Corinthians 11, 23 through 38, yet God sustained him by grace and by power. Day of trouble. None of us are exempt. But I'm going to say this because it's really important. There's a God that through the day of trouble wants to set you securely on high. He wants to come to your aid. He wants to answer you. The very thought in this passage of scripture, this verse, when it says he answers you in the day of trouble, implies that you've cried out to God. That you've cried out. It might be just a simple cry to the top of your lungs. That says, I need your help. Our marriage needs your help. This son needs your help. We cry out to you for the salvation work of God. We cry out, we scream it. He answers. He just does. He answers. And by the way, I was going to say this, like I said 2 weeks ago, it may not be to the liking, but he answers. And in that answering comes a boatload of peace. Because you just know that you're going to get through the day of trouble. One of the darkest days of our lives is when my 18-month-old grandson fell from a bed and had a brain bleed. Walk into the emergency room where they're working on him and he's in full convulsions. Can't see his eyes. They're so dark. day of trouble. A day of trouble. Surgery at 3 a.m, brain half full of blood. Doctor concerned about a couple of things. We'd only know in the morning when they did the MRI. We go home, pick up his sister, try to spend the rest of the night. It's a day of trouble. Wake up in the morning, come over to church for a minute. I'm in a whirlwind. I'm in a whirlwind. I'm going to tell you this, it's nothing wrong with being in a whirlwind. You're facing the trouble, you're facing the struggle, you're crying out to God, you're needing answers, you want answers, you're crying out for wisdom. It's the day of trouble, and that's what we do, we cry out. We cry out. I come through our property's first gate, I come up to the second entrance, and I can't hear God. I just want him to talk to me for a minute. And I can't hear him. And I hear him all the time. And I get up to this gate and I yell, I scream, "Why won't you speak to me? I need you to speak to me. I need a word from you." And the word came in a moment. He said, "Quit acting like this baby is dead. This baby is not dead. This baby is surely alive." And I went, "Oh gosh." Isn't it something how we act like something is really not? We act like it's over. It's never over until you're dead and you're gone. It is never, ever over. But we think like that. We act like that. We live like that. We live like that in the moment. We think it's over. It's gone. It's done. I'm done. We're done. We've walked in this failure. It's a day of trouble. We think we're done, and we're not done. God's never done with you. No matter what the loss, no matter what you're facing. I go through the entrance. It's about 100 feet. And I get a call from Ashlyn. "Daddy's going to be okay. No stroke, no paralysis. None of that. Matter of fact, he's no longer going to be in intensive care." I think, gosh, that's a good word. But I'm going to tell you something. The peace came when he spoke, because he's still alive, but I don't know the future. But I had this peace that surpasses understanding. Why? Because I believe with all my heart, God answered my cry. There's power in crying out. It's power in screaming it out sometimes, crying out to God. And the Bible says it. He says, "In the day of trouble, I'm going to answer you." What means is he's going to come and he's going to answer your cry. It may not be a specific thing you're asking God to do, except, "Oh God, help me." May God answer you in the day of trouble. But I'm going to tell you this. It's really important. Hearing from God is the most important thing in your life, because when you hear from God, you know that you're alive. And you're alive in Christ. And you've got eternal life, because dead men and women cannot hear God. And we need to hear him. We need to cry out to him. We need to default to him in the day of trouble, in the day of trial, in the day of hardship, in the day of uncertainty. Things that are so catastrophic sometimes. It's a response. He's going to answer. And the Hebrew word means he responds with action. He just doesn't come and pat you on the back. He gets to working in that situation, in that struggle, in that temptation, in whatever you're going through. He acts. He moves. That's what the answer is. I'm going to move. Jeremiah 33:3 says, "Call to me, I'll answer you. I'll tell you great and mighty things which you know not." Psalm 34:17, "When the righteous cry for help, the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles." Psalm 50:15, "Call upon me in the day of trouble. I will rescue you and you will honor me." What a passage. When the righteous cry out. Now, let's talk about righteous right now. You're not righteous by your deeds. You're righteous by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the only way you're considered righteous by God. Because there's nothing you can do to earn it, and there's nothing to you to get for you to get better. There's nothing you can do. It's all God. I believe the word. I believe the word of salvation, that Christ has died for me, that he rose again for me, and that moment I believe, he declares me, he declares you righteous. And I get to cry out to this great God, because when you're born again, he becomes your father, not just your king. The righteous cry out. I rescue them, and they honor me. I just think about this. I think about the response of God in the rest of the psalm. Notice the second blessing. May the name of the God of Jacob set you securely on high. Oh, that's the answer of God. He sets you above the situation. He sets you above the enemy. He sets you above. A lot of times when you go to scripture, you can watch it, especially in Psalms and David's writings, is to say, he'll oftentimes say, he's lifted my head above my enemies. He's lifted me up upon the rock, the cleft, the crag, that my enemy cannot get to me because I'm on the rock. He's lifted me up. He has set me. Now watch this. Securely on high. Psalm 27, 1 through 6. It's an awesome passage of scripture. I want you to, if you can get to verse 1, that would be awesome. You are kind of close to it if you have your Bibles open. Notice what he says. The Lord is my light and salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the defense of my life. Whom shall I dread? When evildoers came upon me to devour my flesh, that's the day of trouble. When the day of trouble came, my adversaries and my enemies, they stumbled and fell. Though a host camp against me, my heart will not fear. Though war arise against me, in spite of this, I shall be confident. What's the action? What am I going to do? I'm going to do one thing. And this one thing is, I've asked from the Lord that I shall seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold his beauty. For in the day of trouble, he will conceal me in his tabernacle. In the secret place of his tent, he'll hide me. He'll lift me up on a rock, and my head will be lifted up above my enemies around me. And I'll offer in his tent sacrifices with shouts of joy. I will sing, yes, I will sing praises to the Lord. He rescues the righteous. He delivers them. And what do? They honor him. Did you honor your great God when he lifted you out of the pit and put you on the rock? Did you sing praises to his name? Did you glorify him? Did your life point to him? Did it point to who he is and what he's done? And you say to the world, this is what God has done. He's delivered me out of all my fears, of all my worries, of all my anxieties, of all my stresses. He delivered me. Why? When I cried out to him. This should not be a novel experience. This is our default. We cry out to God. We don't white knuckle it. We cry out to him in the moment, right then, right there. And then we let God work. We let God do his thing. And so many, many times we think, oh, look at this. This is happening immediately. Praise God. But sometimes I got to keep crying out. I got to keep my eyes on him. Even when the circumstances aren't changing. He sets me up on the rock. He takes me from the low places of depression, of fear, of worry, anxiety, and he sets me securely on high. Hey, this is position, okay? Sometimes I don't feel this way, but I believe this way. And I'm talking to you about a guy that gets fidgety, that can walk in the propensities of fear, worry, and anxiety and make false assumptions about my future. Blame God on the way. Do these kinds of things. Where are you, God? What is this? What's that? And do exactly the opposite of what I preach and believe you to do. Oh, I come around. Sometimes it's slow. But I want to be a man that doesn't come around. Because why? I've done it in the moment. I know he's near. I know he's here. I cry out to him. And what does he do? He begins to set me on high. The God of Jacob, his name, sets me on high. In other words, I can move through the problem and move through the trial and move through the trouble victorious, even if circumstances do not change. This is what our God does. And I want to tell you this. If you'd like the psalmist in Psalm 27, Bible goes on and says, when you said, seek my face, my heart said, I'll seek your face. That was the one thing. That was the most important thing to David, was to know the presence of God. Because when you got the presence of God, you got everything. When you got Jesus, you got everything. You have everything that you need in every moment that you need to see God make you through, put you through it, get you through. We get through. We get through. The question is that we go through these lists, we go through these things, will I believe it? Will God birth within me a faith that believes that God answers me in the day of trouble and sets me on securely on high? Look at the next one. He sends you help and support. He says in 20, well, I just lost it. He says, may he send you help from the sanctuary and support you from Zion. What does that mean? It means he's coming from heaven. He's sending help from heaven. Heaven itself, the throne room of God. May he send help from Zion, and may he support you. Bible says in Psalm 46:1, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth should change, and though the mountains slip into the heart of the sea. Psalm 41:10, God says, I will strengthen you, I will help you, I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. It's an awesome thought. The name of the God of Jacob sets you securely on high. And he sends you help from the sanctuary. Now, look at the fourth thing. He remembers all your meal. May he remember all your meal offerings and find your burnt offerings acceptable. Now, I'm thinking about this today. To remember means to recall it and then act upon it. Just like hear means I hear you and I act upon it. May he remember all my offerings. May he remember all your offerings. If this is the congregation speaking it over King, if that's what this is, I'm telling you, they've seen a King that has given and given and given. He's given his time, he's given his love, he's given his gifts, he's given his resources, he's given his money, he's given things in the kingdom of God. He gives and he gives and he gives. And they say, oh God, may you remember, may God remember all those offerings that you gave. May he remember everything that you've ever done, everything that you've ever said to edify somebody, to bless somebody. To change that tire on a busy day of an older gentleman or woman, to stop. May he remember all your offering. May he remember all that you've done. What is that? That's just simply reaping what you sow. That's what that is. When? In the day of trouble. Oh, I remember. I remember what you did. I remember what you said. I remember what you gave up. I remember where you moved. I remember what you sacrificed. He wants to regard us favor. Psalm 41, 1 through 3, this one verse, how blessed is he who considers the helpless, the Lord will deliver him in the day of trouble. Hebrews 6, 9 says, but beloved, we are convinced of better things concerning you and things that accompany salvation, though we're speaking this way, for God is not unjust to forget your work and the love which you have shown toward his name, watch, in having ministered and in still ministering to the saints. He remembers. He remembers when you minister to your friend from church, the family of God. He remembers when you pick up that phone and text or call, I'm here for you. He remembers the meal you fixed. He remembers the gift you gave. He remembers. He is not so unjust not to remember. Our God remembers. And that's what he says. When you're in the day of trouble, may he remember all that you gave. All that you gave. I find it really interesting in the last book of the Bible that Malachi 3:10 would say, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse so that there may be food in my house, and test me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I'll not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you a blessing until it overflows. God just doesn't hear. He steps in. He moves on your behalf. He works in your life. He works in your marriage. He works in church life. He works in community. He works in every single area of your life. And he sends help. You know, one of the greatest descriptions of the Holy Spirit is that he's the helper. He's the helper. More literally, it's he's called alongside to help. That's presence and that's help. That's what he does. He sends help. And if you're on the New Testament side of this, the blood side of it, guess what? It's the Spirit of God. He sends help from the sanctuary. Oh, there may be some angels too. I don't know. But he sends help. We certainly see it in Scripture. We certainly see it in Scripture. He sends help. And I think in this term of this thought today, that as you even gave today, as you gave a tithe or you gave an offering or you helped somebody this week, and you never thought, you don't think about this when you're doing it. I know that. I understand that. I don't think about all these verses when I'm doing what God's asked me to do. But all of a sudden, it just kind of comes back to you, doesn't it? Cast your bread on the water, and not many days later, it'll come back to you. It always does. World calls it karma, and it ain't karma. This is the God that's given you everything that you have, because a man can receive nothing unless it's been given from heaven in God's hand. This is this great God who remembers and acts upon the things that we've done in this life. The rewards. He steps in. Hebrews 4:16 says, therefore, let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. And folks, this is not just in the day of trouble. This is, we ask God from Matthew 6:11 to give us this day our daily bread. When you look, when he continues to go on in verse 4, he says, may he grant you your heart's desire and fulfill all your counsel. It's not just for the day of trouble. It's the day of trouble, but it's your whole life. This is a life psalm, not just a battle psalm. And I guess you can say the life psalm is a battle psalm because we're all always in the war. The thief comes to kill, steal, and destroy. Jesus comes to give eternal life. What's the blessing? The blessing, may he grant you the desires of your heart, and may he fulfill all your plans. Listen, desires are not just some wishful thinking. Listen to this. These desires aren't flesh-oriented. It's a big difference. Because I'm telling you, you can get a doctrine out of this that says, come give me everything I want. And I'm going to tell you this. You don't want God to do that. Because it'll be nothing but trouble. No, when you are seeking God, when you're seeking the one thing, what are the desires of your heart? The desires that you grow become just like the desires God has for you. They're not selfish. They're not self-directed. They're selfless and God-directed. And the plans have God in the middle of it. Seeking Him first, loving Him most. If you don't have that, seeking Him first, loving Him most, and I don't know, I don't understand how any of my plans could ever come to fruition if He's not first. Now, I'm a man. I got a flesh still. Sunday school class asked me, well, Dace asked me when I walked in, what irritates you the most? And I said, traffic. I can't tell you how many times I looked at my map to see if there was a red line ahead and I can get around it. I hate traffic. I hate it. I told him, this is where I lose my testimony. In traffic. Irritated. It irritates me. And you know, there's never a failure, right? When you don't like something, how God just brings the red line. And you can't get off the shoulder, and you can't go anywhere, and you can't go, and you're going to be patient and kind and light and good. That's what irritates me. So if you see me on the road and I'm ahead, and you're ahead of me, please don't slow down. No, I'm kidding. He fulfills all your plans. That's what he says. They say to the king, may all these plans for warfare, all these strategies, all these things for the gospel, all these things that God's put on the heart of this church for missions and reaching Muslims in northern Greece, or the continue to work in China amongst the Hani or the Cambodian folks, or even the Tarahumara down in Mexico. We just, oh God, may you fulfill all our plans. It's a church family. Because this is what you've called us to do. And we are in a war. Psalm 37:4, delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. Proverbs 16:3, commit your works to the Lord, and your plans will be established. Right? It's an awesome blessing. It's an awesome statement of what God does in the day of trouble and what God does generally in our lives. Verse 5, we will sing for joy over your victory, and in the name of our God we'll set up our banners. May the Lord fulfill all your petitions. Now I know, watch this, the Lord saves His anointed, and He will answer him from heaven with the saving strength of His right hand. The word save means to deliver from danger, to bring into security and peace. When I think about this passage of Scripture and David writing it, I think about the war that he was in and the days of trouble that he had. And I think about just some of the things in 1 Samuel 17 when he faces Goliath, you know, the 9-foot-5-inch giant. Yeah. I've often asked, what's your 9-foot-5-inch problem? What's your Goliath? It was certainly a day of trouble, but he already had experienced days of trouble. Because in 1 Samuel 41 through 47, and if you go to 41 for me, Benita, it would be great. He enters a war as a 17-year-old kid, and he sees this giant defying the armies of God in the name of God, and he's offended. Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he would taunt the armies of the living God? Who is this guy? I'll fight him. I'll take him on. And it's interesting because he'd already had a couple of days of trouble in sheepfolds. You know, the bear comes, snatches the lamb, and he runs after it, seizes it, kills it, saves the lamb. And then there's not only a bear, there's a lion. So there's 2 days of trouble. And I know there's been many a nights of trouble for shepherds. Many a trouble nights for pastors. Do you know that one of my responsibilities is to guard your soul? You think that I take that lightly? That's why I want to know you. And would you just come? So I know most of you by name. He's shepherding his family sheep. A bear comes, a lion comes, and the integrity of this man is so much that that lamb is more important to me than anything right now. So I'm going to go after this lion. I'm going to go after this bear. That's what he tells King. Look, God was with me. God will be with me here. Your servant killed both the lion and the bear, and the uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, since he's taunted the armies of the living God. And David said, the Lord who delivered me out of the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear, he'll deliver me from the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said to David, go and may the Lord be with you. This was Saul's job, folks. He's the shepherd. And he shirked his responsibility and he gave it to a 17-year-old kid. Why? Because he was so afraid. Shirked his leadership responsibility. I gotta say this because it's really important. Could we ask God that we could live, men, listen to me, that we could live the rest of our life and never shirk the responsibility of leadership in the home? Of being the husband, the dad, the grandfather God's called us to be. To never shirk the responsibility again. He shirked the responsibility and said, go, may the Lord be with you. And then Saul clothed David with his garments, put a bronze helmet on his head, and clothed him with armor. And David girded his sword over his armor and tried to walk. He couldn't walk. Why? Because Saul's like 6'5", and he's like probably 5'8". He put the helmet on and could spin it. Helmet in the way. Armor in the way. I don't need your armor. I can't go out with these. Why? Because I don't put my trust in armor. I put my trust in the living God. So David takes them off, right? Takes a stick in his hand. He chooses for himself 5 smooth stones from the brook. And it's real interesting when you hear this story, you hear theologians, the reason why he gets 5 is because Goliath has 4 brothers. So you got a stone, some say, for each brother, for each Goliath. Let me ask you, how many stones do you have in your pouch? I'm saying that metaphorically, right? Because I'm going to tell you, there are stays of trouble that the enemy keeps coming in and coming and coming and coming. You all know that. And I'm going to keep pulling these stones out and slinging them at the giants to walk through the victory that God wants me to walk in. 5 stones from the brook. Put them on the shepherd in the shepherd's bag, which he had, and even in his pouch, and his sling was in his hand, and he approached the Philistine. Now watch this. Then the Philistine came on and approached David with the shield bearer in front of him. And when the Philistine looked and saw David, he disdained him, for he was a youth with a ruddy and handsome appearance. And the Philistine said, am I a dog that you come to me in sticks? And Philistine cursed David by his gods. Philistine also said, come to me, I'm going to give your flesh to the birds of the sky and the beasts of the field. Then David said to the Philistine, you come to me with a sword and a spear and a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of God of hosts. Now watch this, watch. I come to you in the name of the Lord God who sets me securely on high. The name of God. It's his name I bow to. It's his name I trust. Because why? Because he's faithful and he's full of good character and he does what he says he's going to do. I come to you in that name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have taunted. Verse 47, this day the Lord will deliver you into my hands. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hands. I will strike you down, remove your head from you. I'll give it to the dead bodies of the armies of the Philistines. This day to the birds of the sky and the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. And then all the assembly may know that the Lord God does not deliver by sword or spear, For the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. And you know what happens. This is not just some flannel book story reserved for your kids over on the square. No, this is for every man and every woman at every age that we find ourselves. That God doesn't deliver by your crafty designs. He delivers in the name of the Lord. He delivers by the power of God. Will I trust that, and will I believe that? Of course, Philistine gets a rock on his head, goes down, takes the sword, David takes the sword, cuts off his head in the day of trouble. In the day of trouble. I love what God says he does to heads of the enemy. He crushes it and he cuts it off. You cut off the head, and that's what he did. And Goliath was the head of these Philistine armies. He was their champion. They had all the faith in the world in this champion. And yet this guy, David, has this day of trouble. He has another one. When he lusted for Uriah's wife, Bathsheba, he's the royal, he's the king. He's the king of God's chosen people. And had such great faith to face Goliath. But he failed miserably when his lust got the best of him. Let me tell you something. It's really important. Many theologians believe that David was older. He's like maybe more like his 50s and almost in his 60s when he did this. He wasn't some youthful guy. And the Bible says, when kings go off, in the spring of the year, when the kings go off to war, he stayed home. This warrior king stayed home. Comes out on his porch, looks down and sees this beautiful woman bathing. Who is this woman? Oh, that's Uriah's wife, Bathsheba. You know who Uriah is? He's one of David's 30 valiant men. Bathsheba's daddy is a valiant man. These are his generals. These are his friends. These are the people that come behind him and before him and fight for him. And what does he do? He takes the wife. That's what he does. In this battle, the day of trouble, this day of trouble, he fails. And that becomes another day of trouble. That becomes a lifetime of trouble. Because he gives into this. And you know what happens. She gets pregnant. He tries to hide it. He kills Uriah through war and through scheming. And says, oh, there, that'll take care of that. But you be careful. Your sin will be found out. And he gets found out. But do you know what he does? He blames nobody but himself. Immediately says he sinned. Immediately has a godly sorrow. Immediately. And you know what God does? God forgives him. Releases him of that sin. But not the consequences. It's consequences the rest of his life. I don't know about you. But I know days of trouble are coming. They continue to come. Trials come and they continue to come. Loss comes and it continues to continue to come. Listen, a lot of us in here are not getting any younger. The older we get, the more we lose. It happens. It's what happens. Death comes. And you know, I just want to say this to you because I think it's really, really important. You have a responsibility when you look at this passage to decide. Watch, verse 7. Some boast in chariots and some in horses, but we will boast in the name of the Lord our God. Because really, when you look at this next piece, we must trust in him in the day of trouble. We must trust in Him with patience, with love, with kindness. We trust, we rely on His name, and we just ask the question, Lord, are my chariots and horses like my education, my money, my status, or my skill sets, or all these other things, are they enough? No, they're not. It's the name of the Lord our God. So here's what I want to say to you. When you're in the day of trouble, come before God, name your trouble. God, this is my trouble, and cry out to Him. Just cry out to Him. And do it right when the trouble starts. You cry out to Him. You don't go Google, what do I need to do in this situation? You go to a Bible concordance is where you go. A Jesus promise book. I don't know. Just you go to the Word for it. Because it's the way of the Lord. I trust in Him. I cry out to God. And listen, I don't just expect the circumstances to change. I expect my heart to change. So that I can face what I need to face. So that I can lean into the trial. And not run from it. I can lean into it godly, not ungodly. I can lean into the doing it God's way. Doing it God's way. And then I keep doing what we do. And that's trust. That's what we do. I think one of the greatest things that you can do is seek Him first and love Him most. Wes Jones' wife, Kristen, lost her little brother this week to a brain aneurysm. And they are devastated. Every one of us who are parents know and believe that our kids don't die before we do. They're not supposed to. But they do. Wes and Kristen have 7 girls. We sit right back here where the mocks are sitting right now. Okay, right there. Raspberries, right there. Every Sunday they're there. A number of weeks ago, 4 or 5 of the sisters did the quartet. I don't know if you remember that. That's this family. They called Ryan their funkle, which means the fun uncle. Okay. Fun uncle. When they're putting to bed the 3 youngest, the youngest, who's 6 years old, is Beatrix. And she prays. Wes was telling me this before the funeral. It brought such relief. And the first thing out of her mouth was, on the day this uncle, this brother, this son died, this family, this is what the 6-year-olds did. She said, Lord Jesus, even though it's hard, I thank you for today. Wow. I thank you for the day. I tell you, there's a lot of things we should thank God for that makes no sense to thank God. But she thanked God for the trouble. Maybe she wasn't able to articulate it that way, but that's what, hey, she thanked God in a troubled day, a devastating day, a hard day that'll extend for weeks and months, if not years. But she thanked God. And you know what Wes said? He said it just came over. The peace and the life of God just came over us. I'm not saying we haven't had waves, and it's gone in waves, but the peace came over when she thanked God. When she thanked God. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. When you thank God for everything, good, bad, hard, easy, beautiful, ugly, I'm just going to tell you this, supernatural things happen. They just do. Seen it. Seen it for the last 10 years of my life as I've practiced this. But a 6-year-old girl, niece, thank God for the day. And brought such relief. This is where you put your eyes on Him first and foremost. I'm not saying it's easy. I'm not saying it's easy. It's hard. And as accustomed as I am to doing it, I still sometimes take not just a few hours, but sometimes a couple of days and say, okay, God, I thank you for it. This is the heart of worship that trusts not in chariots or horses, but in the name of our great God. He gets us through the day of trouble.